dozen good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
It is now time.
The one and only. There never will be another.
Before you excel in any endeavor.
Yes. Welcome to Back to Basics Radio. I am your host, Dinklage the Imp. Susie the Elf had to take the evening off this week, and I'll be bringing you the show myself. I want to thank everybody for showing up in the chat room and all of the people who are going to be calling in. And there's a bunch of people calling in already. And all of the people who are listening on the replay, of course, it is very important that you listen to the replay if you can't catch the show live, and they're all archived, and you can go back and listen to the shows from the past. And right now the number to call in is area code, well, it is, there's a Skype button right there in the chat room. You can call in with Skype, which is great. But if you need to actually use a telephone, it's area code 646-478-0073. That number again, 646-478-0073. And that call is free when you call from work. Okay, and let's see what we have here. We have, I was going to talk today about factions, gangs, and groups like that, and you know, so I want to see if any of you guys have some ideas and opinions on some of the factions, gangs, and groups that are appearing. We saw a very strange group last night called the Thrusting Monkeys, who have appeared in the on the feed, and they look kind of familiar. There's a couple of Thrusting Monkeys. There's the Immortal Thrusting Monkey, and there's Thrusting Monkey Misfit Icon, and there's a Thrusting Monkey Cow, and a couple of others that I saw. So let me see if I can figure out who the damn Thrusting Monkeys are and what we can do. I'll tell you what, right now I'm going to bring on to the radio here, our friend Hollywood Rick Brutal. Hollywood, you there?
What's happening, my babies? Hollywood is here.
Oh,
and
yes.
And it seems I missed the plague of Thrusting Monkeys last night. Damn it all.
I know. It was the strangest thing. I sort of woke up in the middle of the night and decided to take a look and see what was happening on the feed, and the feed was filled with Thrusting Monkeys. And
go ahead.
They're a Mexican wrestling family, and I don't know where the hell they came from, but I think there were four of them, if I'm not mistaken. I think there were four or five Thrusting Monkeys on the feed last night, and I don't know where that's going. That's a strange thing.
Yeah, by the names you gave, some of them do sound familiar.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps they are from an alternate universe of, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
I do not know.
Yeah, it is definitely something to keep an eye on, that's for sure. You never know if there's ever going to be more Thrusting Monkeys, if more are going to come up from Mexico. But, that was a strange moment last night.
So we'll have to have our watchdogs, you know, be on the lookout for we'll have to hold signs up, caution, Thrusting Monkey alert.
Exactly, yeah. That's that's going to be a bit of a problem.
Did they cause any problems with anybody last night, or
I don't think so. To tell you the truth, I didn't really experience them too much. Let me check on this caller here, and I'll see if there's someone else to bring on. You want to promote your show there, Hollywood?
Sure, I will. While you're checking the call, I will do that, and I will promote this network. How about that? Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're around Tuesday nights, you catch my show, 10 p.m. to midnight Eastern, The Unstoppable Super Show. It's been around for over 3 years now, one of the longest running shows in Unstoppable history. Yours truly is the host, Judgment J. Esquire, or Judgment or Judge, depending on what you want to call him. I'll keep it clean. He is the co-host, does a fabulous job with me. And ahead of time, if you want to keep up to date on all the happenings here with the Back to Basics Radio Network, all the shows we have here, go to Facebook, type in Back to Basics Radio Network, and you the station page should pop up. You hit the like button, and you keep up to date on everything that's going on here, such as my manager does a show tomorrow night called Save COH Radio. Mm-hmm. It's a non-WU show. It's the only non-Wrestle Unstoppable show we have on the network right now.
I was on that show last week. I was listening in.
We had, and there was a lot of people showed up last week, so they were surprised about that one. A lot of people tuned in, so we were happy about that one. You there? Hello? Hello? Uh-oh. Hello? I don't know if you went back. Am I on? Can you guys hear me? If you guys can hear me, say something in the chat, please. Anyone? Oh, okay, thank you.
Okay.
I was getting worried.
Yep. I'm here.
Okay.
It's okay.
All right. I thought you were done. I guess you went back into the call. I didn't know if you were back.
No. There's a bunch of people here. I went and screened them all, so it's pretty cool. Pretty cool. Okay. I'm going to bring on Tank Girl now, and let's bring her on the air. Hello, Tank Girl. Are you there?
I'm here, sweetie. How you doing, Dinky? Hey, Hollywood.
Okay. Hey, Tank Girl. What's happening, baby?
Just as much as what you got happening, baby.
Tonight I don't have much going on. This is a down week for me. So.
Yeah. My manager has a wedding to do in August, and just found out she has to wear white. Yeah, she has to wear white lace. She's afraid that the lace is going to burn the second it touches her skin.
My goodness.
That is all. Oh, my God.
Wait.
Oh, my God.
Maybe you could buy, like, an oil or, like, a transparent cream to put on, you know, between the flesh and the thing. This way it won't burn. It won't have direct contact with the flesh. So it won't burn.
I was thinking the very same thing. She's quite inconsolable, okay?
So
you need a fireproof some kind of fireproof gel to work. Absolutely.
Yeah. She's been crying all day.
Aww.
What a suck. Anyways. But to anybody that is listening, and if Eggie is listening, I'd like to thank him in advance for bringing PWR back to Blog Talk Radio Wednesday nights at 9, folks.
All right.
Mhm.
And there you have it.
Yep.
We're gonna. I think I'm gonna bring on Bubs in a second. You guys want to bring Bubs on?
Sure. I was gonna say. Speaking of Eggie, congratulations to Eggie and Bubs.
That's what I think. I thought that was a good segue. Let's bring Bubs on.
Hi, Bubbles.
Hello, Bubs. You there?
It's not Bubbles anymore. I'm not a nice person.
Bubs.
Oh, my God. Okay, hold on a second. If you have to tell us you're not a nice person, you're still a nice person.
Yeah, come on. We had this discussion, remember, about heels?
Like, come on, man.
If you got to tell us you're a heel, you're not a heel.
If you keep calling me Bubbles, I'm not Bubbles anymore.
Jeez. Bubbles.
And let me
tell
you about them thrusting monkeys last night.
Yeah. What was that?
Yeah, what the hell?
Portal thrusting monkey? He threw me over his shoulder and started climbing trees and swinging from vines. And then I had to pull my Glock out on him, and then he dropped me, and then, like, I fell on my boobage, and, like, well, thank God I fell on my boobage.
I was going to say, you didn't get hurt at all then. What the hell?
I know.
You probably bounced back up after that. What?
All right, I'm in a mass with the thrust monkey. What do I do not to get them to thrust their monkey in my face?
Give them a banana.
Throw a banana.
A banana? Banana?
Throw a
banana.
Banana.
Banana. Banana.
Throw bananas like the minions, you know. Just throw a whole bunch of... Throw one at a time to confuse him. Actually, what you do is you pull them off the bunch or whatever the thing is, and you throw them, but you make sure they disperse. so they're not in one pile, so he's got to look around, you distract them.
Lightning's spanking you.
Oh, woo, woo, baby. Oh, right, just right to the left. Oh, to the left. Oh. Thank you, baby.
My goodness. So that's what I would do.
Spanking, and he knows it.
That's what I would do to distract the monkeys. Wait, there's somebody's in the chat. The grappler thrusting monkey jumps into the chat. Ooh.
Look at that. We have a thrusting monkey.
Yeah, I think this thrusting monkey still looks familiar.
Stay away from me. Stay away from me, you thrusting monkey mother trucker. That's some scary ass shit.
Yeah, yes it is.
Funny thing is, you know, I look at his eyes, and his eyes kind of look like yours, Tank.
Oh,
like this, well, are you saying there's like a familiar, there's a family resemblance?
Yes. Are you saying I'm a monkey here? I'm like a monkey in a circus.
No, but
like a monkey that eats bananas.
Look, I'm just saying I'm just saying Bubs is right. There is some kind of close resemblance in the eyes.
And what's the difference between him eating bananas and you smoking bananas?
Oh, banana peels, actually.
I was going to say he takes the banana peels off.
Oh, God. He's a peeling. Never mind. That was bad.
Yes, that was bad. I have another caller here that's been waiting for a while. I'd like to bring on the Nightmare Child, and let's see if Nightmare Child has to say about factions and thrusting monkeys. Hi, Nightmare Child, you there?
Yes, I am here. To be honest, this is the first time I've ever heard of thrusting monkey, and I haven't been in a faction for quite some time, to be honest.
That's my line, but.
Okay.
Go on.
You know, but if they're right, you know, factions can actually make for an interesting storyline.
Yeah, sure they can.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the NWO and the Wolfpack.
Right.
Yes, White Lightning, answer and see, please. Please.
Now I have a question about, you know, facts. Let's say you're in a stable. Okay, you're in a stable, and they have a name. Now, is that considered a faction?
Well, it can be. It depends on how you run your stable. Some people run their stable and they're just quiet about it and they don't make a scene about it. And some people run their stable as a gang. So that's kind of the other way of looking at it.
Okay.
You know, when you look at professional wrestling, stables were run as gangs, and you always knew who was in somebody's stable or what was actually going on with that. But they were, you know, they were vocal and visible. You know, most of the stables in USL are fairly quiet. People will put their stable name sometimes in their, you know, stable letters in their name or something like that.
Right.
Yeah, but other than that, you don't really see a whole lot of stable people running amok together on the feed. Hatred seems to be doing it, and some of the other people. And so, you know, I figure we have the Queen of Hatred here with us tonight, and maybe she would like to talk a little bit about how that's working out.
We do?
Being a stable and,
Where's the Queen of Hatred?
That's Bub. She was right here. She was right with
us. She's the Hellcat of Hatred.
The Hellcat, the princess. Yeah, the princess of hatred.
Eventually, the future princess of hatred.
The future princess of hatred, right. So how is it running hatred as a gang and a stable?
I don't know. I don't run the damn thing.
How about running with? Are you guys considered a gang? You know what I mean? Is it just stable, or do you guys?
We are a group of people who don't like anybody but ourselves and family.
I would say that's a gang or a faction.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I would say that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've noticed that.
Quite right. Quite right.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Is there anybody else have a thought about gangs and factions? Like the thrusting monkeys are obviously some kind of a gang. And, you know.
Sorry, I'm distracted. Questions in the chat. Sorry, guys.
Okay, well.
That's okay. Well,
If I can, I was going to say a few months ago on my show, we were discussing TV pro wrestling, like they had factions and stables and what's the difference. And in that situation, a faction would be like the Four Horsemen, D-Generation X. A stable would be like the Heenan family. And in that case, the stable is when the manager of the wrestlers, when he is the spokesperson or he's at the forefront.
Right, exactly.
And that's a stable. A faction like the Horsemen, D-Generation X, NWO, the Wolfpack, whatever you want to call them, they were just a bunch of wrestlers who were there, and they all had equal say. Or
right.
They could speak their minds. Some of them not
say,
much the others, but pretty much for the most part.
Yeah, that sounds right. Like you have to have a central character, basically, who's the main manager. But you know, how do we do this in Wrestler Unstoppable? You know, everybody has their own manager, so you have to go with your stable leader or your faction leader or something like that. Now, you look at a group like the Brotherhood of Violence, that's a company, and that's a gang, and that's a faction, too. And we have a leader in Big Daddy Dimension. Huh?
What was that, Bob? You cut out.
Not a gang, it's a brotherhood.
And a sisterhood. But, I mean, as far as...
And a motorcycle club.
It's a club.
Right. As far as how you look at it, though... It fits in the a bunch of different categories. Yeah, thanks there, Anarchy Assassin. Yeah.
Oh, somebody like Suckles Adams.
Yeah, but right. So like whether you have I can't even think of his name, Jim Cornette or something like that as your leader, that would definitely be a stable. But it's sort of in Wrestler Unstoppable, a stable kind of has taken on a different sort of different sort of thing, you know. It isn't really just a group of people. It's a separate fighting unit, and you fight separate stable to stable in USL. It's not like you see a lot of stables out in companies trying to take over companies as stables. Then once you know they start doing that, they start getting to be more like a gang or a faction. So yeah. So that's I guess a lot of them are successful, and that's, Brotherhood is good. But, you look at another motorcycle company, like motorcycle club like Murder of Crows, and you'd think it would be natural for Murder of Crows to have a problem with the Brotherhood of Violence. Yet they don't. The two motorcycle clubs don't seem to want to rumble with each other. So, I mean, I don't think the Brotherhood would back down, but I contacted Murder of Crows, and I got no response for setting up a rumble between the two motorcycle clubs. So,
even though I am banned right now from the clubhouse and property,
and you're banned?
Tell you, the Brotherhood wouldn't back down.
I know. The Brotherhood never backs down. So what you think? Just because you got banned from the clubhouse, that the Brotherhood would back down in a fight?
I just meant even though I'm banned and I probably shouldn't say anything, I know the Brotherhood wouldn't back down.
Well, your hatred people have been very vocal against the Brotherhood in the past, so I imagine there's going to be some tension there.
Yeah, and so.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's naturally going to happen, I suppose. I'm not on either side of that. I'm waiting to see what the actual outcome is. Of course, my loyalty is with the Brotherhood, as I'm attempting to be a fully patched brother, and but I'm still a probate. And we're getting a nice recipe for a pangalactic gargle blaster in the chat room.
Gargle blaster.
Wait, hey, phones, what the hell? How small is this drink going to be?
Okay, hold on a second. One second. If I'm going to have a gargle blaster, it better come with a towel.
Yeah.
No. Well, the towel.
Buddy, please, that is. You come up with like a gargle blaster.
The towel.
I need a clean towel.
Yeah, you need a white towel.
I puked on my towel.
Oh.
I puked on it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you just gotta bring a towel with you wherever you go.
Yeah, you can't hitchhike the galaxy without a towel.
That's right. And don't panic.
Absolutely. I know.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. All right, I'm panic.
All right.
Panic.
So tablespoon of gin, white rum.
That's a gargle blast.
Vodka, tequila, cream de menthe. Right. Well, he didn't put the space between cream and duh.
Okay.
Cream de menthe liqueur, right? Galliano.
Right. Mm-hmm.
1 cup ice cubes, and 1 lemon.
Yeah, I could imagine that. But instead of tablespoons, I would probably put parts, because I would mix something like this up in a huge pitcher of stuff.
I was going to say, like, ounces.
Yeah, ounces, yes. Gallons. Yeah, I would mix this stuff up in large bags.
One shot, 2 shot, 3 shot, 4, yeah. 5, 6 shot, 7 shot, 4.
So what I would do is, I would trade 1 tablespoon for 8 ounces, and the 2 tablespoons there for 16 ounces. I guess a lot of cubes of ice you would need then. Or maybe after that, just for the rest of the ice. And then the lemons. You would use the lemons. Well, he didn't say how you're supposed to make it otherwise. Those are the ingredients, but what do you do with them? Just mix them all together?
Mix them all together and pour them in a non-porous cup. Pour them in a steel mug and hope for the best. Because that's a lot of liquor. Yes, that's a lot of liquor.
Good.
Yeah. Good stuff. Good booze. Yeah. I used to make a thing called antifreeze, and that was melon liqueur, vodka, orange juice, and some kind of like Sprite. But then we would kick it up with grain alcohol, and people would drink it, and they'd be like, "Oh, this doesn't taste like anything." And then the ground would be littered with bodies hours later.
We used to drink grain alcohol, otherwise known as alcool in French. Mm-hmm. We used to drink it with pink lemonade. Yeah, alcohol.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what we call it.
Yeah.
But we used to drink it with pink lemonade in a blender. It was fucking awesome.
I remember.
Get it anymore.
Years ago, going down to Baltimore with some friends, and we would stop at this restaurant, the Wharf River Rat. And during the summer, they'd have the chairs and tables set up outside. So we'd sit outside, and we'd order rounds and rounds of their apple cider jack. And when the wind came by, it was very cool because you could smell the apple off of it. And everyone's like, "Oh, what are these pansy drinks?" Like, "All right, fine, just do me a favor. Just don't have more than 4. "No, I'll have them." Well, the next day, you saw the guys who had more than 4 because they could barely walk. It was one of those drinks heavy in alcohol, but you couldn't taste it, and you didn't feel it till later.
I got to give a shout-out to White Lightning out there. White Lightning, look what happened. We started a radio show, and it turned into the cooking show. It happens every time, doesn't it? Yeah, White Lightning used to do a cooking show, and every time we started talking on any other show, it would turn into his show. It would turn back in, and we'd start talking about food or drinks. And that's it. I'll tell you what, I'll give you the recipe for my signature drink, which became known as the Purple Concussion. It's known as that because it was supposed to be the Purple Concoction, but everybody was so fucked up after drinking it. There's, "Hey, give me some more of that Purple Concussion." So you said, "Yeah, Purple Concussion, that works. That's even better than Purple Concoction." It's vodka and cranberry juice. And blue Curacao. Now, I've used regular blue Curacao and I've used blue Curacao schnapps, both with this. You can thin it out with a little Sprite and add some grain alcohol to kick it up into outrageousness. But what's cool is the between the blue Curacao and the cranberry juice, it makes the drink purple, and it also makes it taste kind of like high C or It tastes like Hawaiian punch or something. It certainly doesn't taste like alcohol. And people are like, "Oh, I could drink this all night." And again, the floor is littered with people. The ground is littered with cheese. Yep. That definitely was we had a guy come around who said, "Oh, I could drink anything." And he got so drunk, he passed out. And somebody had a medical gurney. And they put him on this medical gurney and they duct taped him to it. And they said, "What should we do with him?" And I said, why don't you take that guy and wheel him down, like, all the way. We were at a camp. We were at a fairgrounds, festival grounds. I said, why don't you wheel him all the way down to the far corner? There's a billboard. Stick him in front of the billboard. So when he wakes up, he's duct taped to this gurney, and he's facing the road with cars going by in front of him, and there's nothing behind him but a billboard, and all these people are going to see this idiot taped to this gurney. So they went and did that. The next day, he came over, and he tried to kick my ass, but instead, I gave him more drink. He ended up back on the gurney in front of the billboard the second night, too. So, yeah, you be careful with your alcoholic beverages, because you can certainly mess yourself up big time. All right, we've had Kirk hanging on here on hold. I'm going to bring him on in a second, and we'll see if Kirk has anything to say about the factions and or possibly deadly drinks. Hello, Kirk. You're on the air.
Hello, Dink. How are you tonight?
Okay, I'm doing fairly well.
Now, another topic is about factions and stables and all kinds of teams. You know, if I can recall, one of my favorites would be the Four Horsemen.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They were one of the greatest.
Mm-hmm. When I was a young man, we were all given the four signal to each other, man. I remember being in school and stuff and just, like, seeing my buddies and give four, hell yeah. Four Horsemen, man, awesome. Awesome. Hmm. Even later on, when they got shitty, they were still awesome.
What about the NWO?
Yeah, well, the NWO was a really great idea, and they watered it down way too much. That was an idea stolen from New Japan Wrestling. They did that, you know, it was like the heel's heel, the ultimate heel faction. And definitely it brought WCW to the top of the ratings game, beating WWE for...
Well, not the World Wrestling Federation at the time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, well, by the way, I now own World Wrestling Federation. My other company, not Magnum's company, but I'll tell you all about that later. But for now,
yeah, Worldwide Wrestling Federation. I think Magnum is he went with the original four W's out there. Hey, there's English Rose and Fusion Skull. Hi, Rosen Skull. Nice to see you guys out there in the chat room. And Smoking Hot Hellcat, how you doing there? Good. And thank you all people for coming tonight. This is kind of a weird situation. Susie just decided she couldn't hang out. White Lightning's leaving. Good night, White Lightning. Great to see you, buddy. You know, I hope you're feeling strong and everything.
There.
Yep, you're my brother. And it's good to see you. But anyway, Susie couldn't be here tonight, and she let me take the reins, and I'm very happy to have so many good people on the air and in the chat room. It's great to see everybody. So, okay, factions. Yeah, we were talking about the NWO. You know, that got way, way watered down. Mm. And
New Japan.
The whole thing with WCW and NWO. It got to the point by the time it was over. Okay, who wasn't in NWO at one point from WCW?
Yeah, well, Sting and Flair, you know, and Goldberg. And really what they needed to do was take Sting, Flair, and Goldberg and build the entire WCW faction around them to fight the NWO, and they didn't do it. And that was because of, you know, politics.
I got another one.
Right, yeah.
DX.
Yep, DX, another excellent faction and a group, and they certainly had their run at stardom and fame.
Yes, one of my favorites during the era right after the Attitude Era.
Ruthless Aggression.
Yeah, Ruthless Aggression. Thank you for that. One of my favorites, if I remembered. On Monday Night Raw, that I remembered when I was a little kid that evolution had just started.
Okay.
Triple H, Ric Flair, Randy Orton, and Batista.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I remembered when Randy Orton won the World Heavyweight title from Triple H, that was how they disbanded.
Well, they didn't disband. They just kicked Randy Orton out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. But, you know, one of my... Now, I'm talking about you now. One of my favorite factions that I was in, well, it's been 4 years now, was probably... Oh, shit. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. Oh, God.
You can't think off the top of your head?
I'm trying to think of it. It's been 4 years since I started my first faction.
Well, I don't think
which
it's... You said it was one of your favorite factions. You can't even remember.
Yeah,
it
was your favorite faction. I think you'll remember it.
I remember now, it was the eight? Oh, man, it was absolutely the curse.
Okay. Well, there you go. And if anybody wants to call in, that number again is 646-478-0073. It's in the chat room, and also there's a Skype button at the top of the screen for you people in the chat room if you want to call in. And, it's great to have everybody here. And we're talking factions, gangs, and stables and groups and stuff like that. And also, I wanted to ask people how they felt about playing their characters, specifically the alignment of their characters, which would be like to say if you're some kind of a heel or some kind of a face, what does it say in your bio, and how do you play that?
I'll tell you
how I do it. If you look at Dinklage's bio, it says heel egotistical. And that is exactly what it is. I'm an egotistical heel and everything's about me. Doesn't mean I have to put other people down or be terribly nasty to other people. It's just that it's always me first, and anybody that is my friend or associate or whatever is always going to get preferential treatment in any situation. So because it's all about making me look better.
Okay.
Ah, and that's the way it is.
What the hell that was? Sorry.
Some people think
I
want to
talk about Kirk TV.
About what?
My other talk show that's not on Blog Talk yet. But
a talk show.
Okay, when is it? When is it? Okay,
it's going to be tomorrow at 4:00.
4 p.m. Eastern.
In what time zone?
In
Australia?
Morning, the afternoon.
4 in Australia?
4 Eastern.
4 p.m. Eastern. 4 p.m. or 4 a.m.?
P.m.
4 p.m. Eastern.
Or 4 p.m.
Okay.
Eastern.
On which station?
On a Friday?
Yes, Friday. Friday is one of my favorite days to do it. It's to get ready for the weekend anyways. But today, my topic tomorrow afternoon will be about music and wrestling.
Music and wrestling.
Career.
Okay.
Wrestling
theme songs and music?
Yes. I will be playing, so far that I know... Triple H's music.
Uh-huh.
Evolution theme song. And the NWO theme song.
Okay, because you know, nowadays, every wrestler has a theme song. But there was a time...
Yes, I have
not,
Rikishi.
Right, and there was a time not too long ago, or a couple decades ago, where not every wrestler had one. As a matter of fact, some wrestlers never had one. And that didn't come around until about the early to mid-80s.
Wow.
when you started to see the rise of the entrance theme songs.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And one of the things we were talking about was how the theme songs used to be licensed songs that everybody knew, and now they're starting to switch back to little recorded, pre-recorded bits that are completely specific to the wrestler, and they're not known songs. And I think people don't like that as much.
Well, in the WWE case, they don't have to pay royalties every time they play one of those other songs.
Exactly, have, but
you know, they
you
own
they
the rights.
Make enough money. Don't you think they make enough money to pay the royalties for their momentary clips?
I'll say what's really funny is when I go back and watch, you know, the classics on the WWE Network, I know what their theme songs were back in the 80s. And now when they show them, they're playing the WWE licensed music over it. I'm going, come on, that's not the music they had back then. So they don't even want to pay the royalties for that.
Yep.
Oh, whoa, who's got...
the hell? What the hell's going on here? Okay.
My bad.
What?
Yep.
Yeah, I hit a button.
Okay.
He hit a button. Okay.
That explains everything.
I have a question.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Go ahead.
One of the groups I really liked in WWE was the Hart Foundation. Would they be considered a faction, or would it just be a stable?
That's a faction.
I really liked those guys.
Did they have a manager that spoke for them at all?
Originally, when it was just Bret Hitman Hart and Jim Danville Neidhart, Jimmy Hart was their manager.
Yeah,
it was just
Jimmy
the three
Hart.
Of them. And the tag team was called the Hart Foundation. I was thinking going forward to the mid-90s, when Bret Hart made his infamous heel turn, and he had him, he had Neidhart, he had the British Bulldog, he had Owen Hart, and Brian Pillman.
Right.
And Blind that Brian. Was a faction, and that was their own faction.
Mm-hmm.
So, but back then... You know, I got to say, I think that was a stable because Jimmy Hart was the mouthpiece for that. You know, they didn't talk that much back then.
Sure,
That was mostly Jimmy Hart talking. So at that point, the 80s, very early 90s, I would say the Hart Foundation was a stable.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. And we're going to do a little promo here for a second. We're going to be back with this topic in just a second after this. Hold on, folks.
Radical American Wrestling Federation presents RAWF After Hours with Lord Amadeus and Shelby Raker. Saturdays, 10 p.m. on the Back to Basics Radio Network.
Okay, yeah, and of course you can hear the segment that I do there on Saturday nights, Rumor Has It with Dinklage the Imp.
And what is your segment about?
That it is about rumors. I give all rumors from the Wrestler Unstoppable world, and if you have a rumor, please don't make it public. Send it to Dinklage at my inbox, care of Dinklage the Imp, and I will definitely look at it and put my spin on it and maybe possibly present it on the radio on Saturday night.
Ooh, I guess I'm telling you. No.
Yeah, well, send it to my inbox. Please, please, please. We don't want to hear it now. I'm going to have to give it on the air live on Saturday. So, okay, still talking about factions and stables and gangs and things like that. What do you think of like when a gang, faction, or stable enters a company and to sort of take over stuff. If you're a member of RAWF or the Brotherhood of Violence, you see that the two organizations are working together to work against each other. And it's like every pay-per-view, there's Brotherhood of Violence members fighting RAWF members. And some people are members, of course, of both companies. And that makes for interesting play. Like what? That's what I've seen. What other groups got together like that, where there's, you know, one gang invades another?
What do I think of that?
What do you think of it? Can you remember any specific ones that were really successful and good?
I'm going to say it was an invasion from within. Right before I left NLW a couple of years ago, Gabe Faith, he was starting his Chaos faction.
Okay.
And what he would do is he would find the very best heel wrestlers, you know, who were top wrestlers, talk on the side, promises, and he would get this huge, I think there were 20 of them, maybe, at one point, in there, and they decided they were going to have a special match, a special pay-per-view. Whichever team had the most wins would win. So if Chaos lost, they had to disband. And I think if they won, they had to wear orange shirts or something like that for a couple of months. And sure enough, Chaos won. They wound up beating NLW, so they took over NLW for a little bit. To a certain extent. You know, but I'm sure that was old storyline anyway. You know, once they, because I think they really didn't know who was going to win it. But that's what happened afterwards, so.
Right. It's difficult to do something like this, especially when you have two outside companies, because you have to have two company owners agreeing on everything, and there's got to be a lot of good communication.
Yes. Yeah,
back when I had my company, I just did a cross-company event with another company. We weren't really warring. There wasn't any true animosity between us. We just wanted to see who had the best talent. And it wasn't easy to do. I was dealing with somebody from the Netherlands, and she had her ideas of doing something one way and then being really difficult about it. And I was like, no, why don't we just take our top 10 people, let them fight against each other, and, you know, put up a couple of stip rules and a couple of things and call it good, you know. And she wanted to do this whole big crazy thing and make trading cards and all this other stuff. So, you know, we kind of did it her way a little bit and my way a little bit, and it worked out okay, but it was a lot of work, and it was very difficult trying to communicate with, you know, somebody who doesn't really speak English as a first language.
Oh, geez. Okay.
Yeah, so it was kind of tough with that. But it worked out okay. I think the people who did it had a good time, but, you know, it's the tough part is really getting communication through, not making the other company look bad. You know, maybe your company has better wrestlers, and that's going to be the outcome, that the other company is not going to have that many great matches. But you still don't want to put the other company down and make them look like trash. You know, we can look back at this, at my favorite lesson, WCW, and what the hell happened wrong with you know, what was at one time the greatest American wrestling company, briefly. And, you know, they had the NWO coming onto the show constantly saying, WCW sucks, NWO is good, WCW wrestler sucks. And you can't put down the other, you know, the main company. When you do that, people go, yeah, WCW sucks, I'm going to change the channel. And that's exactly what happened when Mick Foley won the, what did he win, the WWF?
He won the world title. Yeah, what happened
world
was...
title. And Eric Bischoff announced it.
Well, no, I don't think he announced it. I think it was Mike Tenay. Mike Tenay... Oh, I get the facts. That's why he's a hair different story. Basically, it came down to Bischoff knew already who was going to win the title because they taped Raw in advance.
Right.
And
they would do that every week. Bischoff or Mike Tenay would say every week, well, if you want to change to the other station, you're going to see this and this because that's, you know, pre-recorded. But if you're over here watching this, this is live on Monday Nitro, and anything could happen.
Tenay had the feeling. He said, no, don't say that. Don't do this. And he goes, no, do it, do it. And Tenay's like, I have a bad feeling something bad's going to happen if we do this.
Yep.
He made him say everybody switched over, and at that point, everybody just stayed with WWF because they wanted to see Mick Foley have the title.
Right, and Mike Tenay said it, and then Eric Bischoff said, yeah, that'll put the asses in the seats, and it did. It put the asses in the seats, and it took everybody switched over to WWE, and a lot of people didn't switch back. And that right there was a kiss of death for the WCW. It took a lot of mismanagement to sink that ship.
Oh, God, yes. And they did. Yeah. It was amazing. It was just amazing how could they out-mismanage themselves every week.
Oh, it was a comedy of errors. If it wasn't difficulty from the wrestlers themselves, it was Vince Russo screwing up and making stupid storylines and being just being, trying to be the center of attention himself instead of putting the wrestlers over, and then putting idiot actors in the, giving the idiot actors the heavyweight title. And just,
oh, God,
you know,
yes. Oh,
yeah,
that was ridiculous.
Everything
and
that he did.
And
you look
that
at
that incident, that actor, he didn't want the title. He
yeah.
said that is a total disrespect to the wrestling business.
Hey, he knew the business better than freaking Vince Russo
yeah.
knew
yeah.
you know?
Well, that's
but,
what he just did the movie. they just
it, the yeah, stuff. That's true. That's
but
true.
But it's just, come on, man. As soon
yeah.
as they did that, we just had to like, are you shitting me?
mm-hmm. Yeah, it was bad. David Arquette as heavyweight champion. Not. And, yeah, and they got Jay Leno in the ring to fight. I mean, it was silly, but, you know, there had been celebrities doing stuff like that before. Dennis Rodman and, you know, whatnot. But that was definitely began the sinking of the ship at WCW. And then listening to guys like, you know, Diamond Dallas Page and Hulk Hogan and, you know, what's his name? Big Sexy Jesus. I met the guy. I can't think of his name.
Kevin
Big
Nash.
Sexy Diesel. Kevin Nash.
Kevin Nash, yes. I met him. The one guy I actually met and talked to for a little while is the guy I couldn't think of his name. Kevin Nash. Yeah, and, you know, those guys had a lot of say in what went on. And they said, we don't like this, we don't like that. And, Kevin Nash called the smaller wrestlers the vanilla midgets, and they all left and went to WWF at the time and kicked ass and had fun and you know, really made an impact over there. And, you know, you got guys like Chris Jericho, who left and became hugely popular. Stone Cold Steve Austin, who was nobody in WCW, went to WWF and boom.
No,
you know,
no, hold on. He was fired by, Bischoff fired him by fax.
Yeah,
then
yep.
Then, and what's funny was when Heyman was in WCW, he kept telling everybody, this guy, Steve Austin, he's going to be big. Because Heyman did manage Austin for a while.
Right.
When he was in WCW. Austin's home. He got a fax saying, you're fired from Bischoff. Bischoff called Heyman. Austin called Heyman. And next thing you know, he's in he's in ECW for a couple of months.
Right.
And then he came over.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep. But, I mean, it was... And when you looked at how much talent was in WCW and they just let it all go and they took talented wrestlers and made them look ridiculous and, you know, that was definitely the death of the company was just, like, ignoring the history, ignoring the talent, ignoring the everything that they had, just taking it for granted that it was going to stay that way, and then offering huge contracts to wrestlers to never wrestle.
Oh.
Like
the NWO. Everybody in the NWO.
Like actually. Lanny Poffo. He got huge checks from WCW and never wrestled one match. You know?
Oh, really?
Lanny Poffo would have been awesome in WCW. Yeah. And
Even
I was waiting
Lanny Poffo.
Yeah, I was waiting for them to bring him in and actually expose him as Macho Man's brother. And then they could have done, like, you know, brother to brother.
Everybody's known that. Everybody knew that.
That's what I mean.
Yeah,
it would have been the biggest kayfabe exposure. Everybody knew it behind the scenes, but it would have been cool if they would have, like, done that on the air and made
yeah,
it.
Do you remember?
But once you say on air, it's like, what?
Yeah, exactly.
That's
right.
Every
yeah. once,
that,
once you
even
say
people
it,
know it.
Once, yeah, exactly.
The curse is pulled once you say it on air.
Yeah, once you say it on air, it's fact, or
yeah.
people think it's fact. You know, like
that's it.
The way it is, man. You got to be careful what you say. Everybody's listening. Everybody's watching.
All right. The grappler thrusting monkey says, "Senior Dick, you are wrong about one thing." Oh, you're answering.
And I said, "Kay."
Kay?
Yes, you hear Tanky. AOD, you hear Tanky.
Yes.
Kay?
Tell me what I'm wrong about.
Spanish,
I don't know. Will we find out?
What
the one, wait, will we find out what the one thing that he's wrong about is?
The slow
typing. Okay, I know, there's only one thing I know in Spanish, plus que, but oso beso, por favor. That's the only Spanish I know.
Cerveza,
I'm not even
gracias.
Kidding.
Cerveza, gracias. Mañana.
Free beer tomorrow. Mañana means tomorrow. Yeah.
Right, exactly. Yeah, cerveza gracias.
No más tequila.
That's when we'll find out the answer from
un tequila,
Russian
por favor.
Here.
Yeah, we're waiting. We're waiting on the monkey while we're telling each other the Spanish. You know, para más información, for more information.
Hijo de puta.
Sí.
El,
no.
El hijo del thrusting monkey.
I know puta's not nice. Okay, that's all I know. I just know it's not nice.
El hijo del puta would
it's
be
obscenity.
The son of the whore.
That's not nice, man.
Oh,
that's not nice.
Senior Bishop.
Believe it or not, I used to think it just meant son of a bitch.
Oh, it was Senior Bischoff who made Senior Tony Schiavone say that statement about Senior Foley Winter. Right, I've heard so many versions of the story.
It wasn't Mike Tenay, it was Tony Schiavone. Okay, thank you.
Tony Schiavone.
I always love that when...
Schiavone. Say it with me, Schiavone.
Schiavone, yeah. Chris Jericho is called Tony Schiavone.
That's right.
Hilarious. Yeah, it was Tony Schiavone. You're right.
Oh, she started at three.
There's the start.
You gotta say it right. It's Shaboopy.
Shaboopy. Shaboopy.
He's
a girl. Hey, Tony Shaboopy. Oh, boy.
Oh, God, I can't breathe. Oh, God, you suck.
Stop inhaling in the middle of a joke, man.
There you go.
Okay, and it happened. No, and it happened when Bubbles kept going. So that was Bubbles' asthma attack, not yours.
Okay.
Ugh.
Sure.
So I made that.
Oh, likely story.
Okay, so anyway, about the factions and the gangs and everything. What do we? It seems like the factions and the gangs and things are sort of work on as a sort of flavor of the month. Like, what can you do to bring your faction or gang back to the forefront? Somebody told me today that they were in Smoking Hot, and now Smoking Hot doesn't seem to be the new thing anymore, and maybe it was time to move on from there or something like that. And you see, you know, I mean, they're Smoking Hot's trying to keep stuff lively, and they're constantly recruiting, and new people are joining, but it seems like a lot of the older people, like, want to move on and change things and change up what they say in their name and stuff like that. So what can a faction do to actually be relevant, you know, after the initial infatuation with being in a faction is done?
I guess keep doing what you're doing to get the attention or raise it a level.
Yeah, I mean that definitely has to happen. I don't know if it's I don't know really exactly what makes it more popular. I think a lot. Oh, good night, English Rose. Yeah, thank you for coming, hon. I think really what makes a faction more popular is its exclusivity. So once you start admitting everybody, well, again, like the NWO was, it starts getting watered down, you know. And then you've got what's his name? Ken Norton, was that his name? Yeah, he was a
okay. Who's Ken Norton?
He was a wrestler. He was known for his enormous chest. It was like if you ran into his chest, it was like a brick wall. But he was an NWO member. He came from he was like a big heel in Japan for a while. But he came to America. He was just another big rhinoceros-sized guy. He wasn't anything special. He was never more of a, you know, he never came out of the mid-card. Not like someone you'd think of like Bam Bam Bigelow, who was iconic, you know, or Big Boss Man was iconic. Mm-hmm. You know, there's different wrestlers. Even
any of the big men. Big John Studd.
Big John Studd. One man
Kamala.
Gang. Yeah, one man gang. Guys was Kamala the Ugandan Giant. Awesome. Yeah. You remember these guys. And guys like Ken Norton, they didn't really have a good character. They didn't have a good gimmick. You know, they seemed pretty awesome. One of my favorite guys is Big Van Vader. I loved Big Van Vader. And he was just the unstoppable force for a long time, and King Kong Bundy, you know, he was also you know, an awesome big man and stuff like that. So, but when you got guys in the NWO like Ed Leslie. I can only say his real name because he had 10 million different characters.
Yes.
Yeah, Brutus Beefcake, I think, was his most famous.
That's his most famous.
Do you remember when they were saying Brutus the Barber Beefcake and Hulk Hogan were brothers? Do you remember that?
The rumor was
stepbrothers.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true anymore though or not, or if they ever.
They were just the best of friends, and Hulk Hogan got the big Brutus Beefcake guy. His made sure he had a job all the time. I guess.
Oh yeah, he did that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He made sure he was employed. And that's it. Oh, we have another thrusting monkey in the chat room.
Thrusting monkey misfit icon
is in the chat room.
If I'm not mistaken, right on. I think Brutus Beefcake became disciple when he joined NWO.
Oh, he joined. He was a lot of people.
Disciple.
Yeah. He was a lot of things, man.
But you know what it is? I was going to say that he did a lot of different gimmicks. No, they were all the same gimmick. They just changed the name and the appearance.
Yeah, they changed the name of the appearance. And then he had that horrible accident with the parasailing accident. Somebody parasailed right into his face. And he had to have a bunch of screws put into his body and things like that.
Ouch.
Yeah, I'm sure you can relate to that. And, so he came back, but he was really never the same. He was never a great wrestler to begin with. And after his accident, he was a little bit worse. So, it was tough. But you look at a guy like, I'm trying to think of his real name now, and I can't. But as Virgil, or Vincent, if you want to call him that.
And
he was actually kind of a solid wrestler. But he was just put into this horrible sort of situation, and this, you know, horrible racist situation, really, is what it was. And put, you know, down on... used mostly for a comedy than anything else. Mike Jones was his name, his real name. And it's a shame because he was actually a pretty good worker. I saw him, a friend of mine had a sexy underwear party, and she had a catalog, and she's like, oh yeah, you should look through this, see if you want to order anything, because you know it was for the girls. But you know, she showed me, and I looked through it, and there he was, Mike Jones, modeling sexy underwear. I'm like, hey, it's him, it's Virgil, it's Mike Jones. I can't believe he's there. And I showed my friends. They're like, oh my god, it's really him. Yeah, he made some money.
You need to come on PWR.
My goodness,
man. You'd have a ball. You'd have a ball on PWR.
A ball or two?
A ball, two balls, three balls, as many balls as you can handle. Never mind. Judgment, never mind.
Four balls and you walk. There you go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, so somehow we got to talking about wrestlers that people know and wrestlers that people don't know. But that was the whole thing about the watering down of the NWO. I mean, how many crap wrestlers did they actually try to bring into the NWO to make everybody go, ooh, you know?
And, you know, and every week they had another wrestler turned on WCW.
Yeah, and it was... nobody, and it was nobody that they cared about it, because they didn't like want to bring in Flair or Sting or any of the Goldberg or any of the top wrestlers in WCW into the NWO. And if they did, it would have looked stupid. But then the whole thing ended up being stupid anyway. And then to add to stupid, Vince McMahon buys a WCW for a freaking song, completely mishandles the Invasion. Completely mishandles the Invasion just to make his original wrestlers look good for some reason that nobody cared about. You know, wrestling fans would have loved it if the WCW guys had the upper hand and really made the WWF guys, WWE guys, whatever they were,
They should have had some way for
fight
the
back
they
card.
They should have had it where the Invasion guys actually got some power in the company. You know what I mean? Like maybe
if you remember the
commentating something with they were allowed to make matches, something like that before the big, you know.
If you remember, the initial storyline was that Shane McMahon bought WCW to fight
That's
against
right.
his father.
Yes.
And
right.
they
yes.
they should have went with that and left Shane in charge, kept WCW as its own separate show and gimmick and everything, and then had them do cross events at pay-per-views and stuff like that, have them clash, have them do run-ins on each other's shows. It would all be under Titan Sports. It would all be under the same umbrella, but
right.
They could have kept the other show as its own separate thing, taken it off of Monday night, taken Nitro and brought that to, you know, some other night that it was going to compete with the other, with WWE.
Well, somebody in the chat said that the original plan was WCW was going to go back to its Saturday night slot on TBS.
Uh-huh.
They run from like 6:05 to 8:05 every Saturday night.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's what they were going to do. They were going to bring it back to that time.
Right.
And just have the one show. I don't know why they didn't do that, though. That would have been great.
Right. Well, you know, of course, all of this has to do with negotiations and ownership and stuff like that. And probably Turner didn't want to keep a show on his network anyway. You know, he probably wanted to wash his hands of the whole affair because the whole Turner Network thing was sold to Time Warner and HBO. Not HBO, America Online, AOL, and Time Warner owned it for a while, and you know, they just wanted to. They didn't want the wrestling on the air at all. They just thought it was a waste of time and money.
Well,
and WCW certainly was at that point.
Right, but
yeah,
you know, it's funny. I read Ric Flair's autobiography, and he was talking about that. And he goes, "Christ Almighty, for the price they gave it to Vince for, Ric Flair could have had a table of investors within 3 hours."
Right.
If he had no, you know what I mean, outbidding Vince.
That was like one of the worst mismanaged things ever. If you look at the value of WCW, had been like $15 million, and it was sold for $3 million, and in no time, its value had dropped that far that they were kind of just grasping at straws and wanting to get rid of it, and you know, let Vince McMahon buy it. So Vince got it for his song, and he has all the great library of videos from the past, from all the great, you know, WCW, and from before that, the Georgia Championship Wrestling. What the hell was that called?
Why was that?
What was the original? What was it called before it was WCW?
NWA.
It was NWA.
No, because NWA is still around.
No. Right. NWA is back. Back
it was
then,
yeah, they're back. I just interviewed somebody from NWA.
But Tanky, originally WCW was NWA.
It was NWA.
Thank you for the education.
And they switched the name of it. Now NWA is its own thing separate because WCW,
right.
You know, it wasn't, they didn't want to be associated with NWA anymore. NWA has always had, you know, their association, whatever. As a matter of fact, a few weeks ago, I found an NWA show, a recent NWA TV show online.
Oh, yeah? Really?
Yeah, it's new. It's, you know, it's definitely indies, but it's there.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to look for it. it's all
yeah.
there.
Absolutely. Well, that's great because, you know, again, independent wrestling is maybe some of the most pure wrestling you can see. And it's a lot of fun to go to an independent show and sit there and scream at the wrestlers. I don't see a lot of big house shows coming around anymore, though, like non-televised, like non-pay-per-views and stuff like that. There used to be, you know, almost every weekend you'd see something around here. I live in the New York, Philadelphia sort of area, and there was always in the city or somewhere in between, or in Philadelphia or something, there was always something going on, and now it's like once in a blue moon. You know, there's something, and it's usually a pay-per-view event or something like that, you know, going on in that area. And it's like, wow, I guess the house show's got to be too expensive to put on.
But what I like nowadays, now you get a lot more of the indie companies coming to rise and again, TV contracts like Ring of Honor, TNA, which is going and falling apart. Believe it or not,
yeah. It's
funny, NXT is one of the better – quote-unquote indies, and it's WWE's development, but that's a really good show. Triple H did an awesome job with that one. Lucha Underground, which I have to catch up on behind by a month, at least a month's worth of episodes.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
I love Lucha Underground. I caught a bunch of that online, and I was like, yes, this is what I want to see. This is the kind of wrestling I want to see.
I'm going to type this in the chat here. This is a website. Watch.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on, give me a second. I'm trying to remember what this is.
There's one company a friend of mine told me about TV.
Hold on. No, don't. I mistyped it, damn it. I just noticed that. Okay. That's the second one is the one you guys want to go to. And as a matter of fact, I have it saved on my tab.
That never works for me. It never works.
It always works for me. I'm there right now.
Not for me.
Wow.
Hold on.
It doesn't work for me.
Watchwrestling.nch. It has stuff on the network, WWE Network, TNA, and then the weekly indie shows, they have Lucha Underground, Ring of Honor. They have New Japan Pro Wrestling on there.
Nice.
And it goes back, so like it goes back to almost well over a year, I think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I got there. I had no problem with that.
So
maybe it's your Canadian internet.
Hey.
Blocking things. I don't know. I don't know what it is.
No.
What could it be? But
a friend of mine spoke to me about JCW quite a few times. I don't know if that gets on TV or not.
Which is what is JCW?
Juggalo Championship Wrestling.
Oh, okay. For the Juggalos.
Yes.
I haven't seen that yet, but
I haven't either, but I plan to check it out at some point.
Mm-hmm.
You could YouTube. You also go to YouTube to see JCW.
Yeah, that's where I was seeing Lucha Underground on YouTube. But yeah, I'll definitely check it out on the watchwrestling.ch.
Yes, watchwrestling.ch.
For all of you people who are listening on the replay and can't see the chat room, watchwrestling.ch.
A lot of good shows on that one.
A lot of good shows.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What was I going to say? There's something. There's another pro. What is it? Pro Wrestling Syndicate.
Mm-hmm.
They do their I think they're doing their weekly show now on their main page of their website for the summer.
Okay.
I don't know. Well, they had a deal with a local TV channel here, and all of a sudden it just stopped. And they said, "Well, we're going to show the rest during the summer. We're going to show them on the website free of charge." So I was like, "Oh, okay."
Yeah. Well, now I need to ask you both a question.
Yes.
Okay.
And some people in the chat heard the interview, but I'll ask you what you think. I just did a ladies' night, you know, for PWR.
Right.
And one of our guests happened to cancel, so we had on the fly we got a guy to come in. He was a wrestling promoter, and the second he finds out I'm from Canada, he puts me down. That's not what upset me. What upset me was this. I don't feel that female wrestlers should be booked all that often. I feel they are a novelty, and I myself only book them every 3 months. How do you feel about that?
Book them every show. They're just as good as the guys. In some cases, they're better.
In a lot of cases, better. Yeah,
right.
I'd say.
Yeah. I mean, have you seen WWE this week? Or the last 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Bringing, yeah. That's
Flair's
what I'm saying.
Daughter.
Yeah, well,
I'm afraid you're going to get his ass kicked by a woman.
They're bringing a lot of the divas, you know, the NXT divas up. So, yeah, if they can wrestle, let them go. I mean, I'm trying to Lucha Underground. Only has, like, one or two females. Ring of Honor, I haven't seen a woman wrestle. I saw that Maria Kanellis is there, and she could wrestle, but I think she's just a valet for her husband's tag team. Yeah, I think so. I haven't seen any woman wrestle there yet. Tommy Dreamer has House of Hardcore.
Oh, cool.
And remember last year when he was in TNA with all the ECW guys? That was him starting a House of Hardcore back then. And on the shows they do, they have some of the TNA guys come over for a match.
Mm-hmm.
They wrestle there. Ring of Honor guys wrestle there. New Japan Pro Wrestling, they have some guys with the House of Hardcore shows.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
And I'm still hardcore,
the better.
Oh yeah, but you know he said hardcore doesn't mean weapons. Hardcore is a lifestyle. Hardcore means you give everything you've got in the ring. You don't play it safe. You don't hold back. It's you give it everything you got because the fans will know when you busted your ass in there. And that's
and no,
the shit.
And no defense or bag of tricks.
That's right. Yeah, that's true. Yes.
Okay, Bubsy, feel better, and good night, sweet girl.
Good night, Bubs. Feel better.
Night, Bubs.
Yeah,
see
you. She's gone. Hardy versus Young, the Hardys versus Young Bucks was a good match. That's what Alexander Wilson said.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes, I just saw that one. Yeah, the Young Bucks are an awesome tag team, by the way. They're the New Japan Pro Wrestling light heavyweight tag team champions. So
nice. Those guys are
Japan.
Great in the ring.
Oh God.
Japan.
It's a super kick party when they're in a ring. And every time they do a super kick, you have to take a shot.
Super kick line.
And I think there was the last match we saw that had like 14 super kicks.
Really?
Yes. They like to throw those super kicks around like WWE wrestlers when we first got them in our moves.
Yeah, now super kick's been added to the WU move list. That's become one of my favorites.
Oh yeah, super kick is definitely it's awesome. It can do an incredible amount of damage if you're lucky. If you're lucky.
Especially if you hit him just right.
And if you can pull it off at the right time. I always do the super kick pray that
I love my
off.
Super kick.
Come to
think
of it.
I just won a super kick title, actually.
Really?
Did
no joke.
Do a super kick?
I am not even kidding.
Let me guess. Did you have to use the super kick in the match?
I had to end the match with a super kick.
GM should steal this from me. I was thinking of doing a super kick party match where you get bonus points for the every super kick you try.
Even if you fail?
Let me see. So now I think it's got to be hit, because otherwise all you'll see every move is super kick, super kick, super kick, super kick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so every super kick that lands.
Yeah. Yeah, Alex said in the chat, their suplexes are like Brock Lesnar's suplexes.
But yeah, I think Shawn Michaels used to do a super kick of some kind, but he had a different name for it.
Sweet chin music. Yeah.
He's
one of the first. Now, I don't know if he's one of the first, but he's one of the first guys to make that move really popular.
Mm-hmm.
I always liked how he stomps his feet before doing it.
While he's selling it to the crowd. He's like, oh, here it comes. He's going to do it.
He's loading up that boot.
What's in his boot? We don't know.
We don't know, but he's loading it up by stamping his foot.
Yeah. I know what's in there. Athlete's foot powder. That's why he's stomping. He moves some of the powder around.
Fast actin, tenactin.
There you go.
Absolutely.
Oh, Jesus.
But the Enziguri kick I like too, and I think I would love to see an Enziguri kick in the game, but you know, there's the super kick sort of takes that place.
Okay, not to freak you guys out, if you go on YouTube and look up Hulk Hogan versus Great Muta in Japan, Hulk Hogan executes an Enziguri.
He has more than five moves.
Yeah, he's a totally different wrestler in Japan. The character Hulk Hogan, that was Vince McMahon's idea, telling him you're only going to do these moves.
Right.
So, but Japan, the boy could wrestle. I was like, why the hell does he do that here?
Yeah, right. Incredible.
Oh, there you go.
The former Sterling Golden, Hulk Hogan. That's right.
AKA Terry Bollea.
Yes. Bollea.
Or Terry Boulder, as he was once called.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and his
Chris
nephew, Horace Boulder.
What was that?
And his nephew, Horace Boulder.
That's right.
Whatever happened to that guy? Mr. Big Head.
At WCW close? I don't know.
Yeah. He was out of a job. Uncle Hulk was Uncle Terry. Couldn't get him a job. He wasn't that terrible, though, really. He was part of Raven's flock. And those were all a bunch of like fairly decent mid-card wrestlers. And that was definitely a gang with Raven as their mouthpiece. So it was sort of like a stable in a way. Getting back to our original topic.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the one guy I liked from that the most, I think, was Reese. You remember him?
What was that?
Reese who?
Reese, he was part of the Raven's flock. He was sort of a big dude. He wrestled in a kilt, to tell you the truth. But he was just another one of those mid-card guys. But he was a cool mid-card guy. I thought he was a something that
one of the headbangers.
I don't think he was one of the headbangers. No, I don't think he was one of the headbangers at that point. Okay. He was just part of Raven's flock, and was kind of a mid-card WCW guy for a couple of years, and sort of disappeared in the with the rise of the NWO and stuff. So. I don't think he ever became one of those lame NWO guys, but I'm sure there are plenty of those to go around.
Yep, a lot.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thought we'd have some thrusting monkeys calling into the show, but that never happened, so I did not think that they wanted to. I think their English isn't very good, really, and maybe they felt a little strange calling in. Speaking Spanish.
We had Gerard call in last week on my show, so
that was incredible. Yes, I was there for that, and I was kind of expecting him to call in.
He didn't show up last night. This week, I was like, wow.
No, he was in the chat room here a little while ago. So
yeah, I know he was here. Oh yeah, I saw him. I talked to him in the chat.
And then
he left to go work out.
Yeah, he had to go eat his steroids.
That's right.
Yeah,
eat his steroids, work out, sleep in gym, mm-hmm. wake up. Repeat process.
Absolutely.
That guy's a character.
Yep, certainly is. And thrusting monkey misfit icon is a character too. Out in the chat room.
My goodness.
One stable in WCW that didn't really amount to much was actually the Dark Carnival. Two of their members actually went on their own, basically.
And who was the leader of the Dark Carnival?
I believe it was Vampiro, and I think members included Great Muta, the two guys from Insane Clown Posse. I think they were in it briefly, and I think the Demon tried to get in on it, and that didn't work.
The Kiss Demon. Yeah,
Kiss Demon.
Oh my God! Yeah.
God of Thunder. Hey man, we got to hear God of Thunder every time he came down. That was cool.
All
right, you
want to
hear?
Okay.
Since you're talking about Kiss, you know, Demon Kiss, and I guess you're talking about lame gimmicks now.
Let's talk about lame gimmicks.
This one trumps them all. Do you remember the wrestler, the Yeti?
Yes.
Yep.
That he came out dressed like a mummy.
Just like a mummy, but he was a Yeti.
Yeah, I was sitting there going, yeah, I was like, oh my God, I don't even know what a fucking Yeti is.
Go on.
I'm sorry. He was running from the Dungeon of Doom to fight Hogan. That's what all it was. It was supposed to be a Halloween bash thing that he had this thing where him and the giant would sandwich somebody and they'd like keep walking and rub, you know, like they're smooshing the guy to death or whatever. I was like, this is ridiculous.
Yes, that was absolutely horrible. And who was in that Yeti costume? Do you remember?
Was it El Gigante?
I think it was El Gigante. I believe it was. I think that was the first time they did. And then they put him in that stupid costume with the airbrushed ass crack on it. And that was just an airbrushed muscles and ass crack. It's just that they had to have for that thing. There's a great book. If anybody wants to check it out, there's a website that used to be great. I've checked it out recently. It's kind of difficult to get through, called WrestleCrap.com. And WrestleCrap put out an excellent book of WrestleCrap, and it's all this kind of stuff, and they go over it in great detail. There was a tag team called the Ding Dongs that were supposed to be hunchbacks, and you couldn't pin them because anytime one shoulder was down, the other was up. And
so just instead make them submit.
Instead of coming out as hunchbacks, they came out as wrestlers with bells attached to their costumes, like hooded wrestlers with bells attached to their costumes. And it was supposed to be exciting for the kids to have these guys ringing bells, and just a horrible idea that just never panned out, and awful stuff like that. And, you know, WrestleCrap is filled with them. Kevin Nash coming in as Oz.
I found the
Witch of Oz thing.
I found the website.
You found the site WrestleCrap.com?
Yep.
I actually met a couple of real life wrestlers through that website. One of them was Big John Tenta, also known as the earthquake and avalanche, before he passed away.
Yep.
He was part of that thing. I met him through that. He and I sent each other messages back and forth through email a couple of times. Really nice guy. And like right before he passed away, we did this. And Penny Banner, a lady wrestler from the 1950s, I met through there, and she was really sweet. And we had a couple of chats back and forth with her. And she was part of the movie Lipstick and Dynamite. It was kind of based around her career, but all women wrestlers. But the movie, the guy who produced the movie did it because he met her. And then he realized that there was a great story to tell in women's wrestling. Because you know why women's wrestling even started, right?
The guy who wanted to get his wife out of the house? I don't know.
Anybody?
No, no.
It started during World War II when all the men were off at war, all the able-bodied men.
Just like baseball.
So they started a women's wrestling league, and they started realizing that the women were awesome in women's wrestling. And,
you're telling me Mae Young, Moolah, names like that, names like, all the older female names?
Yeah, and Mae Young and Moolah were the kids. They were the young ones coming in at that point. There were wrestlers before that.
In the 30s.
Those names all elude me. But, yeah, that started in the 30s doing, like, exhibition matches and working at carnivals.
Yeah.
It wasn't until World War II that they started really having – women wrestlers being big and popular and getting the attention that the male wrestlers were getting. And then, after that it died off until the late 50s, early 60s, when you started seeing women again a little bit, and then more towards the 70s and 80s when then women started really making their mark. And it all came, and it was always Moolah. Moolah was on top for the longest time.
It was Moolah, Sherry...
Like
Sherry Martel, Leilani Kai.
Well, I mean, Sherry had it for decades.
Decades.
Yeah. Alondra Blaze.
I mean, last week when I did it, like I said, we did a ladies' night, and each lady that I asked, who was your inspiration? Who did you want to be like? Everyone said Sherry Martel. Every single one of them, all three of them, Sherry Martel. No joke.
Well, Sherry could do it all. She was a great manager. She was a great wrestler. She was a great personality, and she could talk. She could look good. She could look bad. Mm-hmm. She could do. It didn't matter what it was. Sherry Martel really was sort of a miracle. But I like Luna Vachon. Luna was awesome.
I loved Luna. Luna when she started coming down with Bam Bam, especially. She scared you into liking her. That's all I have to say about her. She was awesome. And she'd scream at you worse than Sherry Martel.
Oh, yeah. Luna was a screamer. And there's a classic story where some guy got in her face at a house show, and she screamed at him loud enough for everybody to hear. She screamed, "Shut the fuck up. Your cock isn't as big. My clit is bigger than your cock."
That sounds like something.
Oh, that's Luna. Yep.
You need to get a hold of me. We need you on PWR. You're a fountain of information. I'd love to pick your brain.
Okay, I'll have to do that sometime.
Totally.
Because, I'm old school. I know old school. So that's totally cool.
One of the biggest, literally biggest female wrestlers in her day was Bertha Faye.
Bertha Faye?
There's a name.
I liked her a lot, and she was, relegated to comedy most of the time, but I thought she was pretty awesome. And Bull Nakano, remember Bull Nakano?
Yes, yes.
With the big blue hair? She was awesome, man. She was tough. She was one tough cookie. And, I mean, when you look at the Medusa Michelli, also known as Alondra Blaze.
Yeah,
and,
she was great. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
She was my favorite back then.
Mm-hmm.
She's excellent.
Yeah, well, that's because she was a great wrestler. And, that's the thing. You bring in someone like Stacy Keibler, who's, easy on the eyes, most definitely, but in the ring.
Nice legs.
Exactly, right. Right, but you're not
a
wrestler.
Question.
Yeah.
I have a question for you just because I interview and that's just what I do.
All right.
Last time I checked, and correct me if I'm wrong, Dean Malenko is training the girls. I'm wrong. Dean Malenko's not training the girls anymore.
I do not know, to tell you the truth. I do not know. But, yeah, Dean Malenko, you know, another great wrestler that...
Iceman.
Yeah. Another great wrestler that maybe could have had a bigger push.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
But you know what?
He
was well known. He had a huge following. Hey, man, you don't know him as Dean Malenko, you know him as the Iceman, and you don't forget him.
That's right.
Adam, she's a sleeper hold.
Yeah, it's your show, Billy. Anyways, but, wow.
Yes.
Well, we got a few minutes left, I believe. Sorry about
that. Yes, we're winding on down. Oh, it's okay, that's the radio host in you. Taken over, which is perfectly fine. I appreciate it because, you know, Susie wasn't here tonight. But we are winding down to the last few minutes of the show, so if anybody has anything they want to promote, this is the time to promote it. Why don't we start with you, Hollywood?
Okay, well, as I said earlier, Tuesday night, tune in to the Unstoppable Super Show, 10 p.m. to midnight Eastern, right here on the Back to Basics Network. I'll be hosting, along with my co-host, Judgment, or Judge, or Judgment J. Esquire.
Or some kind of thrusting monkey.
Maybe all the thrusting monkeys will show up. I don't know.
Maybe. Okay.
Maybe they'll all show up with Gigi, too. Holy cow.
Oh, no. Gigi and thrusting monkeys? I don't even want to think about that.
Oh, no. I don't want to think about it.
Yeah. I don't want to think about that right now. Tank, you got something you want to promote?
PWR Slam with myself, Sadistic Sean Hubbard, and Steve Kane, the Dean of Wrestling. They call me Chaotic Katie because they kind of have to, because it's the OC. But, yeah, 9 p.m. Wednesdays on the 2D Sports Network.
On the 2D Sports Network. Okay.
Yep, Eggisa Station.
Okay. And I think that's it. We have... I guess I'll promote some of my companies. If you want to be in AAA campgrounds, I can get you in there. They've got a 20,000 coin open challenge. How the hell do you maintain that? I don't know, but they're crazy, and I can definitely get you into AAA campgrounds. I run the hardcore show there. DPIW, that's Delirium Psychotic Impact Wrestling. I run the hardcore show there as well. And that's a great insane asylum, as well as the Loony Bin, where I do a whole bunch of things over there. Currently running a non-really pay-per-view, but sort of an event anyway, called Christmas in July. So you'll notice my name is Christmas in July, and I'm wearing a Santa hat because I'm promoting that over there. And I also am partners with Shelney Brick and a little company called Ponderosa West. And that's a company about making a movie, Western, and we're just, it's more of a storylining thing than an actual competition thing. So I'm enjoying all of that. And, of course, I work for Seductive Wrestling Productions on Monday nights, and I do a big, freaking awesome show there. So, and I can get you into any of those companies because I have that kind of power. So we're swinging down to our last couple of minutes of the show. And I want to thank everybody who has called in, especially Tanky and Rick Brutal for helping me keep me company here so I'm not sitting here alone. Mm-hmm. Everybody in the chat room for showing up and being a pain in the ass in the chat room, as always. And I also want to thank all the people who are calling in and listening to the replay. This show is usually hosted by me and Susie the Elf. Although I think maybe this time you wouldn't really notice that anything had gone on because I had these wonderful people come on the air and help me out. And I thank you all for coming to the show tonight. And we still have a minute left. So last thoughts, everybody.
I was like, thanks for having us on. It was our pleasure to be here to help you out, brother.
Okay, no problem.
And like I said earlier, if you guys haven't already, go to Facebook, look up the Back to Basics radio page, click the like button, and you'll be able to keep up to date on all the happenings here on the Back to Basics radio network.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Awesome. Awesome information there, because that's something I even don't do, and I should do that more often. I got to make sure I check out the Facebook page for Back to Basics. So, Tank Girl, thank you very much. And
is she here?
She's gone. She disappeared already. Oh, well. All right. Well, just a few seconds left again. Thanks, everybody, for coming. And as usual, thanks for leaving. Take care, and we're going to be in the after party.
Okay. Good night, everybody.
Rock and roll.
Okay, after party, I guess. Hello.
Yes, we're in. We're in the after party. Yay! All right. Well, thanks a lot. I guess it's just you, me, and I think Terrell is still listening. So.
I guess so.
I'm still here.
He's over there. Oh, you're still here. That's Kirk. All right.
I'm Nightmare Child.
Nightmare Child. I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to get anyway, get going anyway. My nighttime meds are kicking in, and my throat is getting very dry, as you could tell.
Mm-hmm.
Out of nowhere, so.
Yeah.
And I was going to say, I was looking at that website, and they updated their book, The Death of WCW.
Yeah, I love that book. I have that one, too.
They say now there's 40% more material in it. But
wow.
This one came out October 14th, 2014, so I don't know if you have it from then.
No, I don't have it from then. I have it from earlier. And I've read that book about 10 times. I love that book. So that's great.
So there's more stuff in this one than a copy you've read.
Yes. I'd like that. I have to get a new one then.
Oh. Well.
Maybe they talk about the mismanagement of the invasion too.
Maybe. I don't know. You know, for every good idea they had, there's like five or six that don't work out, so.
Yep, absolutely. And, what's up?
A lot of these old wrestlers are before my time, but thankfully I got to see what they were like due to YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of guys. And there's a lot of old wrestlers. Another thing, you know, I was thinking about was the wrestlers that have been... that were good wrestlers and they got a raw deal. You know, maybe that'll be the topic of another show, because guys like Adrian Adonis, who was an awesome wrestler, and he was relegated to playing a gay wrestler because they wanted to make fun of him. You know, and Vince McMahon had a problem with him. You know, Playboy Buddy Rose ended up doing comedy bits because, you know, Vince didn't like that he had gotten so far out of shape. And stuff like that. So yeah, there are a lot of guys got a raw deal. So maybe that'll be a topic for another day.
There's another great wrestler that never even made it to WWE.
Who's that?
Douglas Ox Baker.
Yeah, Ox Baker, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, Ox Baker.
His matches, he was a beast.
Are you sure Ox Baker wasn't like in WWWF?
Yeah, I think he was actually in the early
3W. Which is still WWF, it's just earlier.
It was Vince Sr. I believe he was in that with Vince Sr. But you know, and he's definitely in the movie Escape from New York.
Yes.
Yeah, that's how I first saw him.
Mm-hmm. Now he plays Slag in that.
Yeah, he was in the WWF, you're right.
Okay.
Hopefully he'll get in the Hall of Fame at some point.
He should.
When I found out he had passed away, I was pretty sad about that.
Yeah, that wasn't too long ago either.
Oh, okay. Ready for this? He was there in 1967.
Wow.
His wrestler name was the Friendly Arkansas Ox.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Amazing.
Oh, let me see a picture of that one.
Yeah, definitely. It's the Friendly Ox. Wow.
Friendly Arkansas Ox.
Friendly Arkansas Ox. Yep.
The Friendly Arkansas Ox. Holy cow. That's funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Easily one of the most, you know, amazing heels to ever walk in the ring.
Yeah, he was stunning to look at. He was amazing to look at. I mean, you looked at him and he struck terror in people's hearts. But, you know, the one-man gang was like that, too. And then he got turned into Hakim, the African Dream. So I mean,
his mustache and the way he had his eyebrows too.
Yeah.
His eyebrows look funky because he had them go up, and then that big thick mustache he had, the handlebar. Well, not the handlebar, like the Hulk Hogan, the Fu Manchu type mustache, but it was so thick and crazy. You look nuts.
Sometimes he had a big ZZ Top beard to go with it.
Did he? Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Yeah, here's a picture of him in his later days, and he still has that, the mustache and the eyebrows. That's funny.
But I think one wrestler that's really royalty in the ring is Andre.
Definitely. I mean, you can't you can't really even talk about wrestling without mentioning Andre the Giant. Great wrestler, great character, great human being. You know, everybody who knew him loved him. He got carted out to the ring when he was unhealthy. And if you look at his last couple of matches, he could barely stand.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, it's terrible. He had a stellar career for a while, though. And that man could drink and eat and bed women like you wouldn't believe. He was... He had big appetites in every department.
Yes.
And, I don't know if he really bedded the women, but he certainly had a lot of women hanging off of him most of the time in a lot of photographs. I think he was actually kind of shy in real life.
Well, yeah, well, and he was married up until
and he was married there for a while, but definitely. And, I mean, look at him. He did movies. He did television. You know, he was... He was definitely a wrestler celebrity, like before there was even such a thing, you know? Like The Rock, sort of, is following in his footsteps.
It's not in the film credits, but I think I read somewhere on the internet that he had an uncredited role in Conan the Destroyer, Andre, that is.
Yes, Andre played the monster at the end of that Conan fights. He was in that suit, in the monster suit. That was him. Yep. That was the only cool part about that movie, by the way. I'm sorry, that movie was horrible.
Yeah, Barbarian's better. I agree.
The first one was great. The second one was absolutely horrible.
Yeah, it was very bad.
One of the few good things about it was how Conan was a man of few words. That was it.
Yeah, I don't think I think they said in the first movie he doesn't say his first words till at least after the first half hour.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, crush your enemies and all that.
Yeah, I think that's his first lines he has. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right, guys, listen, I'm going to take off. Great show tonight. Thanks for having
me. Thank you for saving the show and being here to. Subversively co-host with me.
Yes. My pleasure. Glad to have you out.
Thanks.
All right, have a good night, guys.
Good night.
And have a good night, everybody who's listening. Bye.
Yes. And I'm gonna end the show now. So have a good night, and we'll talk to you another time.
Good night, man.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling in, man.